Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. It's me, Crystal P. Willingham, and you're back on the air live with me, Glam Network Radio. This is me, live and in color. This is not a recording, and thank you so much for joining us. We did have to take a break last week on last Thursday, so thank you so much for coming back in and joining us once again. Tonight we have a fabulous show for you. Jasmine Ballinger, CEO of The Hope Code. And we're going to talk about that. She's also an author, a wonderful, wonderful personality. I'm so excited to be able to introduce her to you tonight. But first, before we do that, we're going to hear a little bit of music and a little bit of sound from Jamie Grace. Beautiful. And then we'll pay some bills and come right back and talk about some news. I got some stuff I need to share with you guys. Be right back.
And smile, 'cause it's been a while. It's been like a whole day since I stopped so you could hold me. This child away, strong in the face. Lord, you are the refuge that I can't wait to get to, 'cause I can't let it stay.
All the bugs off my windshield, 'cause you're showing me that in you I'm free, and you're still the refuge that I've just got to get to. So I won't let it say go, won't let it say goodbye. So put the drop top down, turn it up, I'm ready to fly. And
this show segment is brought to you by Rise Management and Consulting Firm. Rise Management and Consulting Firm is helping you rebuild your credit. Learn how to understand your credit, read your credit score, understand your credit rights, repair your credit, legally watch your credit score improve within 30 days. You'll get consultations, unlimited email access, and 10% off your first product purchase. For more information, visit www.risemcf.com. That's www.risemcf.com. Or visit them on Facebook, Rise Management and Consulting Firm, helping you rebuild your credit.
That's right. Go by my friends, Rise Management, and they will be sure to help you get your credit back in order. They are a God-ordained kingdom company, and they are willing to work with you. Hey, listen, I want to do something today. We had another tragic occurrence this past weekend, and so I wanted to, you guys know I love to pray, and I want to ask you guys to continue to keep this volatile situation between African Americans, all humanity, and law enforcement, and this spirit of lawlessness and murder that is running rampant throughout our world and in our country specifically in this season. So please keep the families of officers Montrell Jackson, Brad Garofola, and Matthew Gerald. Please keep those families in your prayers. They have served their community. The community is hurting as well as their family members, and so we want to pray for them. We also want to pray for the family members of this gunman who unleashed on these officers. They have a weight to carry as well, and so we want to pray for all parties involved, and we're praying for the Lord to minister healing to these families in Jesus' name. Okay, so the GOP convention has started. And the Republicans are having, I'm sorry, the Democrats and the Tea Party people and the no-partisan people are all having a field day with Melania Trump's speech last night, and it's quite comical. She is quoted verbatim taking some speech lines from Michelle Obama, First Lady, and it's quite comical, the things we've been saying. I've seen some things that just kind of made me bust out laughing altogether. And but here's the thing. I don't know if anybody knows this, but Barack Obama is also quoted as using someone else's speech from 2006 in his 2008 campaign. So guess what? This thing is obviously very common, quoting other people's scripts and other people's speeches. And we're calling it plagiarism. You guys got to see the memes. If you want to see something funny and just have a little laugh under your breath, go by Twitter, Facebook. You can go to any social media and have a field day with that. Please excuse me. But tonight, I won't read them. I would not take up all of our time doing that, but it's just the most funniest thing I've ever seen. But on the lighter, on the more serious side, this political storm has been nothing but surprising to me and surprising to a lot of other people. And I don't mean surprising in terms of what has been happening in the spiritual forecast, surprising how many of our people are allowing this political storm to divide us in the kingdom of God. So I want you to really, really consider what you say, what you do, who you support. Don't let the media use us as puppets to regurgitate, repeat, retweet things that we hear and say, and let God be God in all of this. So let's be a little more wiser and what we are saying and what we share. I know it's funny, too. So I've actually shared a few things that are funny myself. But on the more serious side of that, we want to be very, very careful. And so pray. The Bible says pray without ceasing. So we want to make sure that we are staying in line with that, okay? And listen, I'm going to let my boy, Brian Isaac, let you know what kind of evening we're having. We'll come right back. We're going to meet with my guest, my lovely Jasmine Ballinger. She is CEO, and I said incorrectly at the beginning of the show, she is CEO of the Honor Code, and that's an organization that helps women transition out of a life of domestic violence. She also is an author of a prophetic flip book, which I think is great, The Frustrated Prophet in a Faithful Office. You can get that on Amazon, but we'll let her come back and introduce the book to you. She'll come back and introduce the Honor Code to you and all the other things that are going on in her life and what she's got coming up. She's an awesome woman, beautiful spirit, and I cannot wait to introduce you to her. We'll be right back in a few minutes. We've got one more commercial and one more bill to pay, and then we'll be right back.
Pick up.
Greater Working Women Ministries presents its first annual I Am Still Somebody virtual conference for teen moms on Saturday, July 30th at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The theme is Giving Up is Never an Option. This conference will give teen mothers important information on college admission, living a healthy lifestyle, parenting skills, meal planning, money management, including how to protect your credit score, entrepreneurship, and the importance of mental health. You can register for free at IamStillSomebody.com.
That's right. That virtual conference is free. IamStillSomebody.com. Go over there and sign up. If you or yourself know a teen mom, please encourage her to sign up. I know this woman personally, Shantae Williams. She is the president of Greater Working Women Ministries, and I Am Still Somebody. Shantae has a plethora of books and journals and how-to manuals to encourage teen moms to stay in their Christian walk with God, that being a teen mom is not the end of your life. You are still somebody. So go by the website, IamStillSomebody.com, and sign up for that free virtual website. I do virtual webinar. I do know some of the guests that are going to be appearing on that virtual webinar, and they are some awesome, awesome people. Please go and sign up. If you know any teen moms, encourage them to sign up. IamStillSomebody.com. All right, we're going to bring my guest on tonight. She is the CEO of the Honor Code, and that is an organization to help women transition out of life from a domestic violence. Jasmine Ballinger is a domestic violence coach, and as a former victim of this evil against women, Jasmine knows how to help you out of that place mentally, emotionally, and spiritually into your new life. She's also the author of the quick flip book. I'm going to get tongue tied. The Frustrated Prophet in a Fruitful Office. You can purchase that on Amazon. This book is the 21st Century Modern Day Prophet, Church, and Post. Let me introduce to you my special guest tonight, Jasmine Ballinger. Jasmine, are you here?
Yes, I am here, and thank you for having me, Miss Crystal.
Thank you. I love your energy.
Thank you.
That's what I'm talking about. Got some energy. Jasmine, thank you so much for joining us tonight. And I want to start off by talking about your book, because you are a prophet. And it's a flip book, and it's The Frustrated Prophet in a Faithful Office. I know for many prophets, before we can actually write something, we got to go through something. And apparently you were frustrated. So let's talk about those frustrations that you had that made you write this book.
Yes. Well, you know, Crystal, again, thank you so much. What an honor to be on the air with you and for this opportunity to share on this platform. You know, The Frustrated Prophet in a Faithful Office, I tell you, believe it or not, do you know I wrote that book in about 67 days? I wrote that book in 67 days, and I was impressed by the Holy Spirit to, hey, get it on the press. Even though I had a prior book that I was working on and really trying to complete that kind of foretold aspects of my life, you know how when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, it's like, okay, you need to get this done immediately. And I kept hearing a pressing, and then I would try to shake it off like, no, that's my flesh. But no, I can't do that. But I got it accomplished. And believe it or not, God gave me the grace to complete it. So, yes, I have actually finally just accepted my call and walked in the ministry. I thank God that for actually what all my life I have been pretty much had the DNA or the telltale signs that I was a prophetic person. But I did not have persons really in my life to kind of say, okay, the reason why you're experiencing these situations in your life is because God is trying to resurrect the prophetic ministry or the mantle that's on your life. Or the reason why you're the way you are, not necessarily just negative, but the way that the attributes that are kind of our telltale signs of prophetic people are those that have open visions, dreams, word of knowledge. They are ahead of their time. They're trailblazers. Sometimes they're very motherly, very fatherly, full of wisdom, you know, timeless, you know, they're ahead of their time. And I could never understand why I just couldn't fit in the puzzle, you know. And so for a number of years, I was just in the wilderness. I was saved. I believed God. But because my religion, check this out, my religion was not speaking the tone or the codes or that I understood what was going on with me, I said, let me backslide or let me do a sabbatical, you know, because apparently my surroundings were not really giving me that cushion or affirmation that, hey, this is who you are, and come on, let me undergird you, let me affirm you, let me show you and direct you and guide you on how to not be frustrated with what's going around and the wars on the inside and what other people are doing, but let me show you how to hear God in chaos, how to thrive and serve others and lend a helping hand to people and still be calm and still be able to navigate and still be able to be real with yourself. Like, okay, I'm feeling this way, but let me direct my attention on the standards and ways of God. So I kind of, you know, and I have some more to go with. I have a testimony along with that, several, like all of us, hey. But that was the reason why I'm with the Frustrated Prophet. From a personal stand back, I began to see my life. And then I began to think about our world, and I said, gosh, there are people that are coming in the body of Christ, in the fold, that have never been to church, don't know what it's like, don't understand why, you know, their childhood or why they couldn't relate in certain aspects in business or, you know, it's not just church people or people that are impoverished or broken or in a state of low abide. It's for those that are really that are in those particular territories of influence, whether it's business, government, arts and entertainment, media, family, education, whatever that area is, there are some prophetic people that need to understand, okay, that's why I'm like this, and how do I channel this, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah, I do, and that's a part of the frustrations that we have as prophetic people. Some of those frustrations are quite common, and those common frustrations are not being able to differentiate between what is prophetic and what is implied because of something you saw or heard or seen. And I don't know if this has happened to you, Jasmine, but, you know, God speaks. We need to make this clear. God speaks all the time. And I don't think God isn't talking that much. Well, actually, he is talking quite a bit.
Yes.
He talks through everything that we do and say. And you can hear even God be filtered through some of the most unexpected sources where he will catch you. You know, talk about those unexpected sources where you can hear or see God speaking to you that would make a young prophet frustrated.
Okay. Well, let's see. Several things, and amazing that you even proposed this question. Just today, I literally was taking care of some things in my home, and I tell you, I said, okay, I'm going to prepare for this interview. I'm going to get myself situated, and, you know, I'm going to have everything together. And I tell you, I had, you know, a sitter in line. I had, you know, everything together because I am a mom, you know. And everything did not go as I planned. I had plan 1, 2, and 3 available. And God said, I want to teach you how to, in chaos, how to still rise, how to still handle, and I hope I'm answering this question properly, how to hear my voice when things are just going kind of haywire. You know, the baby's crying, the baby, I mean, they got everything lined up, the food, the, you know, the toys, and, you know, the sitter, you know, wasn't available. You know, the sitter said she was available, and it was at the last minute. We had to change some things on that end, and then the phone began to act up, and I I said, you know, my computer began to, I said, wait a minute, this doesn't make sense. And I and then I saw a sign.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a sign of a piece of jewelry. I went upstairs, saw my pieces of jewelry. And I said to myself, wow, I was not, who would ever think? It was a piece of jewelry, excuse me, that was given to me. And I was like, I don't need this piece of jewelry. Why do I need this? Da, da, da. And when I looked at it, it was like a Hinduism cue, like put it on tonight for, you know, prepare for tonight, for the tonight's interview. You needed that piece of jewelry that you didn't want or didn't like. It was for you. And what happened, even though that does not make full sense right now, but there was this level of such a peace and calmness that came over me to remind me about all the preparation for tonight with you was on purpose. So what am I saying?
Yeah.
Every situation for that, I speak to you, that prophetic person, that person is just really trying to find your way, trying to understand why, you know, the rejection in your home, why the difficult issues with relationships and why you can't seem to find grips on even expressing yourself or finding your voice. It's not in vain. It's not in vain.
Yes.
But there are people that God will put in your place. There are clues and signals. You said that God speaks. Sometimes God is not just verbally talking. He uses signs. He's used symbolisms. He'll use it could be something as insignificant as a flower or a billboard to speak to you and let you know what you're dealing with is not for naught. It's not unto death, but decision making with an action plan. You prophetic person or prophet, you have to make a decision. In spite of everything that's going around me, I'm going to either allow it to be dirt to propel me, or I'm going to be the dirt. I'm going to wallow in it and die in it. And you can't, because prophetic people are people of movement. And we have to know how to move when rejection is around, when chaos is around. We have to know how to confront, be confrontational. So, yeah, so that's just my tagger. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And you know, in the future, because of the place that humanity is in, those prophetic winds are going to always blow, and people have to be open. I mean, we get it everywhere. I mean, we used to do this. I don't know if you did this growing up, you know, just open your Bible and say, well, wherever the pages fall, that's what I'm going to read, you know. And,
right. I
and
did
God,
that younger.
And God
would
bless us
that.
Anyway. He would send us a word anyway because, we, you know, all my children, they trust me so much. If they just throw a Bible open and read some pages, they believe it's for them. And because God is who he is, he would make inform that those pages to fit your present situation, your current situation. And I've seen people whose hope has been restored just out of the most unorthodox places that they would allow God to use to show them themselves or show them something that they need. And so that is the answer to the frustrated prophet. Be open to what God is saying when he says it.
Please be open. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And you're going to grow and mature in it. You're going to grow up. You're going to mature in it. You know, you'll know the dreams that you had because you had pizza and cookies the night before, as opposed to
right.
that dream that is really going to impact and change your life. There are dreams that God has given you to change your life. And then, you know, hey, you know, frustrated prophets do. We have pizza and chocolate chip cookie dreams, too. And it's just us decompressing from the day. It's very important to decompress from the day before you go to bed. You know, it's really, really important. So we have this flip book now. Where can we get the book again?
Oh, yeah, The Frustrated Prophets in a Faithful Office for the Modern Day Church, Modern Day People, and That Modern Day Prophet is available on Amazon.com. So available
awesome.
On Amazon.com,
awesome, awesome.
All Amazon.com. Worldwide, international.
International, Jasmine Dallinger, The Frustrated Prophet. profit. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back and talk about the honor code and what that is and what that means. I've dubbed you, and I don't know if you noticed it, I've dubbed you the domestic violence coach. And so we're going to talk with her about that whole scenario in her life. And she's going to come back in October again during Domestic Violence Month, and she's going to help me reintroduce her story to those that are getting through that season in their lives. And I'm telling you something, God is awesome, and he's using every avenue that is available to reach the masses. And so please don't think that your journey was off or not. You frustrated prophet, know that God has you in mind. So we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back. We're going to take a little bit with Morgan Storyteller, and then we'll come right back, pay some bills, and we'll be right back on board with Jasmine Ballinger.
This segment is brought to you by Shulamite Women Magazine, an online magazine for today's Christian women. Get real talk on the real issues at ShulamiteWomen.com. Shulamite Women Magazine presents Transform My Now with Dr. Belinda John, Royal Palm Beach, Florida, August 5th through the 6th. Your speakers include Pastor Natalie Green, Pastor Nancy Abiera, Apostle Diane Brooks, financial mentor Shani St. Veal, relationship coach Danny Spikes, and celebrity makeup artist Stacey Mossop. Transform My Now, August 5th through the 6th, 2016, in Royal Palm Beach, Florida. For more information, visit their website, ShulamiteWomen.com.
That's right. Don't miss that conference if you are in the Florida area. Royal Palm Beach is where they will be located this quarter. They're going to be doing some more. But meet with Dr. Belinda John and the Transform My Now team, and they'll be more than happy to greet you. They have such pristine and excellent conference behavior. I've not been to one, but I've heard about the excellence that Dr. Belinda John displays in her conference meetings. And so by all means, Transform My Now, go by the website shootinglightwomen.com for more information, and don't forget to register before I believe the hotels are blocked, so go ahead and register, and even up to the last minute, I believe you can. So go ahead, shulamitewomen.com, and go by and see them. Tell them I sent you. We're back on the air live, and my tongue is all over my mouth, just twisted up every kind of way. But thank God that we're a little more lenient with being human.
Yes.
And those things that we do, like get tongue-tied. But my guest tonight, Jasmine Ballinger, she's going to grace us with her story. Is before we went to the commercial break, you heard from Morgan and storyteller. She has a story to tell. Trust me when I tell you, and I believe everyone does. Everybody has a story to tell. If you don't have one, keep living. You're going to have something to tell someone else that'll help them, uplift them, encourage them. And that's what this whole series is about. This is the Glam Network Radio, 50 to 60 women, female women, female teenagers, and power couples that we're going to be interviewing from now until we're done with power, triumph, and influence. And these stories are awesome. This is episode number 8, by the way. And so I hope that you are joining us every week. We do this twice a week on Tuesday and Thursday nights at 7 p.m. I just want to get that in there right quick, Jasmine, before we bring you back in and talk about the honor code and what that means. Well, first of all, tell us what inspired you to begin this organization.
Wow. You sound great, by the way. And number 8, new beginnings for you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. The honor code, tapping into unity and favor, is the vision name, okay? And I tell you, what inspired me was August of last year, 2015, maybe even earlier than that, so maybe in the summer 2015, let's say that. Summer 2015, mm-hmm. Got laid on my heart about, I was looking at a clip actually of a gentleman preaching on honor, and that word honor resonated with me so tough. And all of a sudden, later on that day, I heard the honor code, and then I heard tapping into unity and favor. And I said, what? No way, Lord. I have these 3 babies. At the time, I had 3 under 3, working 2 mm-hmm. jobs and taking a break. And I heard tapping into unity and favor, and, you know, hey, go ahead and mm-hmm. develop. You know, I thought it was just an event, but it ended up turning into an mm-hmm. actual organization. So the name of the organization, the Honor Code, Tapping into Unity and Favor, and what I began to see, what God was really trying to say, was that we have lost honor. We've lost the power mm-hmm. of honor in our nation and in our world. And when I heard tapping into unity and favor, I looked up the scripture when it dealt with us being able to come into the areas of maturity in Ephesians 4 and dealing with the mm-hmm. Apostles, prophets, and evangelists, preachers, and teachers. But really, that whole chapter mm-hmm. talks about unity and talks about maturity, you know. And then I began to think that it was just about that. And then the Holy Spirit began to show mm-hmm. me, no, this is a bit more deeper than that. And so I began to do some research and look in at what was going on at that time. And if we fast forward from July 2015 to now, we can see we need honor in our life. And honor needs to really be displayed in these times. And it's very critical because I believe God is trying to say, when we honor one another, does not matter their race or creed, does not matter their race or their backdrop or their background, when we honor one another and respect one another, we end up unlocking the door of unity and favor.
We really tap mm-hmm. into that. And so I was impressed about it. Of course, God already deals with us about something, and I was a lack of honor going on in my life. I grew up in a home where I was taught morals and dignity and respect and mm-hmm. honoring one another and being respectful and mindful of others, being willing to serve. But through so many different, and just trying to find my way through some various mm-hmm. Tragic situations and traumas and just trying to understand my identity, I lost what mm-hmm. was put in me. I lost the essence of honoring one another, even honoring myself, and truly understanding the power of honoring God and how that is really a reflection in how we honor, of course, one another. And God really began to detox me and point out my issues, say, no, daughter, you have been out of order. Drop your pride. You have been out of order. I am detoxing you. Yes, you're going through traumatic transition right now, but I am breaking you so that you can understand what my word says about honor, what I'm saying in the land about honor, and what I want to address to the people about honor. And as you can see today, oh, my God, we really need unity and favor, and we definitely need to unlock that code by the display of honor. Yeah.
Now, in unlocking the code of honor and releasing that to individuals that need it, how is that in relation to the ever so running issue that we have in society with domestic violence? We have so much of that still going on today, and it seems, or it would seem, as we mature in humanity, that we would have be more aware of domestic violence. And I think that it is more so now than ever, because the times have changed. We have more problems. We have more people with PTSD, post-traumatic stress syndrome. I'm going to say it instead of using the alphabet. We have more people who are on medication. More so people cannot cope today as yesterday. So now we have still the issue, and even more strongly, domestic violence. So talk about the honor code and how domestic violence is weaved into that, and how that has to do with you.
Yes, one of my favorite scriptures is found in Hebrews, we must work out our soul salvation with fear and trembling. And it's a soulish issue. It's a spiritual deficit when it comes down to domestic violence and sexual abuse, whether it's the victim or the accuser. One must really take the ownership of and responsibility of the domestic abuse, or the abuser, or the violator, or the victim. But how does the honor code and the goal to end domestic abuse, or campaign but to end domestic abuse and sexual abuse, works in? Well, I am a victim of domestic abuse and sexual abuse. I actually, growing up, I was molested as a child, and even though my world was painted very beautifully, I still was a victim, and that really, really, really did not begin to show that what transpired in my life so early did not begin to really reveal itself until I got in my late teens, early 20s. Because I kept it so quiet, and you would never think that I was molested. You would never think I was molested for a few years of my life. But it really bothered me on how I viewed authority, how I viewed control, and I didn't understand how it really affected how I viewed men, and even women in my life. It really broke me down, it really broke me down, where I had troubles really expressing myself, so or voicing myself, thinking that I would not be heard. And that's the honor code, is to give voice. This year we are partnering with the Tennessee Coalition to End Domestic Violence and Sexual Abuse. This is the year that we are going to stand and with our purple and express why it's imperative that, you know, first you need to take ownership of the fact that if you are in a domestic relationship, a domestic abusive relationship, you need to get out. You need to know that you're worth, that you're valuable, that you do not need to take that, that you do not have to stand in and day out receiving that type of verbal, physical, or even forced sexual acts. Then for the person that has been sexually abused and you just don't have anybody to talk to or go to, do not hide in not expressing yourself. Make it known that you have been assaulted, that you've been sexually abused, that someone violated you. I want to speak to parents. I want to speak to parents that think that everything is going well in your life and nothing's going on with your children. You need to really talk real truth about our genitals, letting them know it's their private parts. Don't let nobody touch it. If you see your child does not want to be interact with certain people, recognize that. Do not be afraid if you have to stop your job, if that lose your job and get on government assistance, or just for the trusting in the God of your salvation to take care of your child. If your if that's the only babysitter that you have, do not, and that child is not free or comfortable, do not be hungry for money and forsake your daughter or son's voice. They are trying to express something to you, and they may not can articulate it clearly, but you need to look and study your children, look into their eyes, and then to the adult that is badgering yourself day in and day out, male or female, walking back and forth into a marriage or a whether it's bisexual, lesbian, whatever. No abuse is right. And I'm an advocate of male and female relationships or marriage. But the reality is the abuse is in those other, you know, the sexual or lesbian community. There is abuse there. But I tell you, you do not have to take that. You do not need to take it. So what? You're not going to get money. You're not going to have a place to live if you let him go or her go. No, you get your pride back and you get your dignity back. And you walk on, take ownership that, hey, I put myself in this predicament. And if you are the accuser and you're feeling guilty about what you've done and how you've done it, you make peace with yourself and peace with God. And if God gives you the guts and the gusto and you have the strength, go to the people that you accuse and tell them you're sorry and forgive, you know, forgive you. And you may have to do your time, but you need to make that known and take ownership. It's about finding our identity. Even as the accuser, you can find your identity in Christ. Even the one that's been the victim, you can find your identity in Christ. And that's the purpose of the Honor Code, that we are able to ignite a people to understand, to display honor in and out of your life, whether it's the babies, the geriatrics, the homeless people, the richest individual. We must cherish and value and honor others. And so Honor Code, DEP, and the Tennessee Coalition to End Domestic Abuse said, we're going to stand with you, and hey, we're going to partner with you in this. And so this is our goal. We are standing and advocating that no to domestic abuse and no to sexual abuse. No.
That's right. Yeah. And excuse me. You know, we have an epidemic that is thickening in the skin of humanity, and that is rejection. And those spirits that cause people to be the accused, the sexual abuser. That's a spirit of hate, you know. And so what has happened, and what is happening, is that even in the young teenagers are in violent relationships with their boyfriends, even as far back as middle school. the young men and the women, because we have gay lesbian relationships as well. And I'm going to be very, very open and frank about that. It doesn't matter what kind of relationship you're in. You do not have abuse emotionally.
That's right.
Physically, you do not have to put up with abuse. So we have a problem here, and it's systemic. It doesn't. It's just going and going and going. And even now, to the younger generations, we are dealing with sexual abuse, and a lot of times people don't tell because they have this sense of acceptance from the person that is abusing them. And that is a misconception. That is not acceptance.
Yeah.
That is hatred. And also understanding that some of the abusers are formerly abused individuals. And therein we have another cycle.
I want
to encourage you as you pursue this to and that's why I dubbed you domestic violence coach, because this is something that we're missing across the board when it comes to why we can't figure out what is going on with crime in our city, what's going on with the things that are twisted in the church. These are skeletons and closets and things that we have swept under the rug, so to speak.
Yes.
So, talk to us about that sweeping under the rug, because, as a victim myself, we sweep that thing under the rug, and no one knows that we're not okay. Talk about that, sweeping it under the rug.
Oh,
you said
gosh.
Own it. You talked about owning it. So those are people that don't own it, and they're sweeping it under the rug. Talk about that.
Oh, man, I was that person, too. I've been both. I swept it under the rug because I hope I'm not giving too much information until our next book, until I come back in October. But, I swept it under the rug, Crystal, because here I was already, a woman that had a child out of wedlock and then didn't get married. And then here I go, having a child, twins rather, out of wedlock, end up getting married, and was a preacher's wife. And yes, preacher's wife. And then I was, I saw divorce. My parents divorced early. I grew up as an only child, so I was always pretty mature for my age. And so and I was having businesses and stuff like that at 12 and 13 years old, getting certified and licensed for stuff. But anyway, so I learned how to sweep stuff under the rug early because I had to deal with people. And I knew presentation was always critical, was always in order. So when I began to grow up and get into relationships with men and I learned or developed friendships and then, get in relationships with men, I noticed that there was a trend or a pattern that I was, always trying to present like I had everything together, but deeply inside I did not. And so let's fast forward. So, I would sweep it under the rug, and I got frustrated. Here goes the frustration. I got frustrated because I was going to church knowing I could hear a word from God, but I was going to church, but they were not seeing or discerning that I was in pain. They were able to discern spirits and able to discern the gift and the call and all this other stuff on my life, but they could not see this woman is in pain, this young woman. They could not just see deeper. They could not look because the eyes are the window to the soul. They weren't sensitive to really see this woman day in and out is faithful or, but not only she's faithful, sometimes she's here, sometimes she's not. Sometimes she's making commitments and things, but she's having to counsel commitments. They could not see that I was having, I was in pain, inner pain. And it's very critical. We live in a time now that the church, the leaders of the church, we got to talk with these issues. We got to deal. We got to pull
That's
up
it.
The stories in the Bible that deal with our everyday issues. It is so relevant, and it's so prevalent. And I made a decision. I made a decision last year that I will not sweep under the rug again what I experienced. I know some things cannot be expressed, but I will not sweep under the rug when the opportunity presents itself for me to minister and look deep in the eyes of that man, woman, boy, or girl and address if they are okay and address something's different, something's not right with you, you know, and to address to the leaders. Those markers, those critical markers, because it's critical. It's critical, Crystal. And even look at, you know, even, you know, properly or, you know, the right way, going to leaders of church, hey, let's implement a plan. Let's talk about real stuff. Thank God for the supernatural. Mm-hmm. Thank God for the miraculous miracles. Thank God for the wonders. Mm-hmm. But we need to work out our soul salvation. So when we are able to get and obtain the wealth from the wicked, then we'll know how to give freely and also know how to receive freely, know how to manage, know how to practically apply principles in our life. And so, I have an issue. The sweeping under the rug thing, it's a no deal. It's a no deal. It's a no deal.
It's a no go.
No.
That's right. No. That's right. You know, you said something about examples in the Bible of not as often as I should, but a lot of times I make reference to Tamar. She was raped by her brother Amnon, and Tamar is David's daughter, and his son Amnon raped Tamar. And the Bible talks about Amnon's hatred for Tamar, and so in the end, that was a vindication that happened because of the fruit of the seed that he sowed. But Tamar is one of those examples in the Bible. Of course, we've had wars and things that we talked about, and those evil men that won wars would take their women and children and rape their women and keep them for themselves and add them and keep them in bondage. It's a form of bondage, and this is how the enemy has been stealing and killing our women, and this is not something new, not something that has, you know, there's nothing new under the sun, is it not? So it's all began somewhere. And so we want people to understand that domestic violence in the form of emotional and physical abuse, it's not new, but it's not necessary for you to have to deal with it. You can say no, you can run. I got a spiritual mother. Let me tell you something. I got a spiritual mother.
What's that?
One of my moms in the faith. And look here. She tell me, as she said, Crystal, she said, look, baby. She said, look here. Whatever my daughters go through in their marriage, if they just tell me to pray, I'm going to pray. I don't want no details. That's what she said. I'm telling you how she talks to me. I don't want no details.
Okay.
She said, but if a joker put his hands on you, let me know. I show up at the house, we posse'd up, put the kids in the car, let's go. That is one thing that she just does not deal with. And although we can laugh a little, it is so real, these issues that are happening among our women. So let me tell you something. Call somebody go by the Facebook page, send the honor call, the message, and they will send somebody to posse up and get you out of there. Okay?
That's true. I got two people.
Man, I know you do.
I got a couple people to handle that.
You and the kids. Yes. Come and get you and those kids and get you out. You do have to remain. And you don't want to find yourself in a volatile situation where, number one, you have to defend and kill someone. And then, number two, if you are a mother with children, you don't want your children's view tainted of what real relationships and marriages should look like.
Yeah.
So we're wrapping up, and I want you to tell us where we can find the honor code, where we can find you, tell us where we can find that book again, that flip book. Give us all the information for it.
Sure thing. Yes, Crystal, you can find the honor code on Facebook, actually, at Honor Code Memphis. Also, you can go to Jasmine Jazz Ballinger, or just go to at Jazz Ballinger on Facebook. I'm there at Jazz Ballinger Instagram, Facebook, and I do have a Twitter account. I just forgot about that. I have a Twitter account. Also, I have a website, www.jasmineballinger.com. Everything you want to know about the Honor Code, me, the Frustrated Prophet, and a little bit of extra info that we haven't shared today is available on that website. I think I have, I'm missing one more, Crystal. Something's missing.
I believe we got it all.
The Frustrated Prophet in a Faithful Office at Amazon.com.
That's right. It's on Amazon.com. Thank you so much, Jasmine. We appreciate you being open with us tonight, and you're going to come back in October and be a little more open about the Honor Code and domestic violence and all those other things attached to it, because we're going to talk about things that are attached to domestic violence as well. And we're going to get deep and dig down deep and dirty and strip this thing so we can get some people set free. So I appreciate you joining us tonight. It is an honor for me to introduce you guys to this woman of God, Jasmine Ballinger. Listen, we are on the air every Tuesday and Thursday night at 7 p.m. I thank you so much for joining me. This is the Glam Radio Network, and our motto is power, triumph, and influence. This is the media project that I've taken on. God has instructed me to introduce 50 to 60 power couples, women, and female teenagers, by the way, who are going to encourage you, uplift you, give you their stories of empowerment and great, great influence. Let me tell you something. I got some guests coming on the rest of the month. This Thursday, Carolyn Johnson, she is the CEO of an import-export business. I never thought I would interview someone like that. And guess who's coming on July 26th? Belinda John. Dr. Belinda John, that's right, of the Shulamite Women magazine. She's going to join us. And at the end, we got Diamond Girls with Joe Smith. This is going to be so good. So please join me again. Invite your neighbors, your friends, and your enemies, your sisters and brothers, and let them know, hey, Crystal Willingham is on the Air Glam Network Radio, Power, Triumph, and Influence, every Tuesday and Thursday night. Thank you to my guest, Jasmine Ballinger. We're going to leave out with Keisha Rainey, and she's going to give us pump with I'm Moving. And don't forget, go on the website, thetotalwomanglam.com, for more information. We also have a community that we're building that has so many things in store for you. So get on the website, thetotalwomanglam.com. And by the way, I think you'll be able to order T-shirts this week, too. God bless you. We love you so much, and see you on Thursday.
This segment is brought to you by Shulamite Women Magazine, an online magazine for today's Christian women. Get real talk on the real issues at ShulamiteWomen.com.